Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, animal cruelty, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
On how many continents could you make an omelet? I'm Andy.
This episode's for the, well, you know. I'm Sean.
Birds of a feather, kill together. I'm Adam.
Whatever you do, don't feed the cassowaries. On second thought, do feed them. Fast. I'm Kelly, and this is Acid Pop. Welcome back, everyone, to Acid Pop. Today we're talking about birds.
Is that what this episode's for? Get it? This episode's for the...
Oh, never mind.
That joke is for the birds.
The etymology of birds, or bird, is or Old boy. English from bird.
Bird.
Or brid. Which
bread.
Or bread.
Which was originally used to refer to any young animal and young people.
What?
Oh, really?
Look at that point.
So a squirrel was a bird and a child was a bird?
Yes.
That was very
all birds. Or brids.
Yeah.
It's also like Old English slang for attractive young females.
There you go.
Welcome to England. What is that animal over there? That's a bird. Well, what's that animal? A bird.
The phobia of birds is ornithophobia.
That makes sense.
Fear of birds, from the Greek ornis, meaning, well, bird.
I've heard of ornithologist, so that makes sense.
That one's not too much of a stretch.
Ornithologophobia.
Fear of people who study birds.
Wait, do you know a lot about birds? Why, yes.
Science. Gonna lay some science on you. Birds are warm-blooded, feathered, beaked, and egg-laying.
I can vouch for all of those except egg-laying. I've never seen a bird do that.
Oh, then you haven't lived.
I've seen eggs, and I've seen birds, and I've seen birds in eggs, so I think we're pretty safe.
Now, you really
well, I know
around.
Birds come out of eggs, but where do they come from?
Which came first?
Everyone ready for our acid pop quiz?
I'm so ready. I know everything about birds.
I have to warn you, I took an ornithology class last semester.
He did.
Once again,
he could not
Adam's
going
to get us
birds.
With the science.
You and your school.
I don't want to brag, but I know some stuff.
Well, good. I'll be keeping score. Birds evolved from pterodactyls. True or false?
False.
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 You all got it.
Woo!
Yeah.
Pterodactyls, which technically aren't dinosaurs, were once thought to be the ancestors of birds, but we now know birds evolved from theropods, which includes animals such as the T-Rex and oviraptors.
We've got a friend that's way into dinosaurs, and he made sure to tell us that every time he talks about dinosaurs, oh, by the way, pterodactyls, not dinosaurs.
Or birds.
All birds have wings.
Ooh,
that's a tricky one.
I'm going to say true.
I've seen a kiwi and I don't know if they have wings, so I'm going to go
false. That's exactly what I was thinking is like, kiwis,
yeah.
Like it's very vestigial, so I don't know if that would count. I'm going to say false.
It is true-ish.
Then I win-ish.
And also false-ish.
All living species of birds have wings. There are a few extinct birds without wings, including the elephant bird and the moa.
Elephant bird?
Elephant birds.
It flapped with its ears.
Like Dumbo.
Were,
oh my God.
Let's hope not, because they were 3 meters or 9.8 feet tall, weighed 1,100 pounds, 500 kilograms, and their eggs weighed 22 pounds or 10 kilograms.
That's a hell of an omelet.
Seriously.
Can anyone guess their closest living relative?
Elephants?
Elephant bird. Penguins.
I'm going to say emu.
It's the kiwi.
Oh.
They shrank a bit. Ostriches are the most dangerous type of bird.
False.
False.
My money's on cassowary.
That's
exactly
what I was going to vote
I was
for.
Thinking. Yeah, I'm going to say false.
You are all correct. It is, in fact, the cassowary,
yeah.
According to the Guinness Book of World Records.
It's the closest thing we have to dinosaurs these days.
Here's the thing, though. Like, from what I remember learning about cassowaries, though, there's really only been, like, one recorded death by cassowaries, and it was, like, 40 years ago.
But still, that's a lot more deaths than, say, seagulls. So
that seagull picked up my son and took him away.
It's because after that one death, everybody knew to keep their distance.
Seriously.
True or false, most birds are monogamous.
Most. Huh. I know some are.
I know that penguins are.
I'm going to say
false.
True.
I'm going with true because of, like, penguins and eagles and shit.
False.
Oh.
Most birds are socially monogamous.
Only when people are watching.
Testing shows that they tend to sleep around quite a bit, even the supposedly monogamous ones. And they pair off to raise young, but that young might not be with the person they're paired with.
So birds are swingers.
Yeah, I don't see no ring on this wing.
AshleyMadison.com is still going strong in the bird community.
Topical reference.
Okay, last true or false. There are poisonous birds.
Poisonous. True.
Does a platypus count as a bird?
So poisonous would be if you eat them, you die.
Right.
Correct.
I'm going to say true.
I'm going to say true just because there's so many birds.
Yeah, they've got to be poisonous. Like, seagulls have got to be poisonous, right? All that trash that they eat.
Seriously.
You are all very clever. It is true.
And it is seagulls.
One example is the blue-headed ifrit, which has a neurotoxin in its feathers.
What?
Yeah.
It gets it from eating beetles.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was going to say, I've heard of a couple birds that, like, you know, there's poison dart frogs that are meant to ward off predators, but some birds have evolved to eat them. And then they eat them and absorb the poison, and the birds become poisonous.
Delicious.
And so if we eat the bird, then we can become poisonous.
Yeah, just take a few million years.
Just be patient. All right, we're on to our fill-in-the-blank section. How many continents have birds?
How many are there?
There are 7.
Okay. Some people debate that. 6.
6. Come on, summon the devil. Do the last one.
7.
Adam, being our expert here, is correct.
Oh, that was close.
Yeah, you just wanted me to go along with you guys, just so you can get the devil joke.
Follow the crowd.
There are 3 birds in Antarctica, including
Joe,
one,
Bill, and Sarah.
Including one that has been seen at the South Pole. So,
just the one, though. Is that a parrot? Shut up.
How old is the oldest known wild bird?
Wild bird.
Oldest known wild bird.
Did they count the rings?
Yeah, but after they cored it, it was dead, so they had to find a new one.
127.
84.
I don't think birds live all that long, typically. Well, no, parrots do.
Parrots, boy.
Yeah. I'm going to say 90.
You are all optimists, I'm afraid.
Oh.
The oldest known wild bird is 67.
Really? What I thought it? Parrots lived longer than that, I guess.
Yeah, but in the wild, I guess.
They don't have as good a health care out there.
They get struck by lightning.
Her name is Wisdom. She's an albatross.
Albatross.
And she laid an egg just last year.
Wow.
Really? At 60-something?
She was first banded in 1956.
Good for her.
Well, how old was she then? Do they know? Because that would just be...
They're estimating that her age at that time.
Oh, okay.
But she's probably lying about her age.
What were those bird IDs and all?
Yeah, most women that age do.
What is the bird's closest living relative?
Elephant?
You just won't get off this elephant thing.
Eventually it'll be right.
Crocodile.
Living relative? I don't know. Platypus?
Just want that platypus.
They lay eggs and they have beaks, Andy.
Andy got it.
Yeah.
What was that? Crocodile?
They're mostly closely related to the crocodilians.
Wow.
They well, and crocodiles. Yes. It's a long lineage. They're both the last living members of the Archosauria group, and they diversified in the early Triassic.
This is my 327th cousin, 250 times removed.
What is the smartest bird?
Well, I know the one that knows the most words was a gray parrot.
African gray.
Yeah.
We're not looking for an individual named bird here. A group of birds will do.
Well, the only two I can name are African gray and seagull, so I'm going to go with African gray.
I want to say African gray.
I'm going with mockingjay.
That is not a real bird.
Yes, it is. I read about it in Hunger Games.
Sorry, guys. It's largely considered to be the American crow.
Oh, I was actually going to say raven.
Just because someone can talk like us doesn't mean they're smart.
that one African gray is the only animal to ever have asked an existential question. Have you ever seen a crow do that?
Well, you can debate with the scientists.
Well, I was just quoting a Beatles song, though.
I am the walrus?
Crows can use tools, have a sense of fairness, have cultural memory, and are generally considered super cool.
By most
certainly by the crows.
We'll be talking more about crows later and corvids in general.
They're off the chart on the cool meter.
Okay, we're on to our terms. What is anting?
Anting?
It's very close to uncling, except you're a woman.
You say it's when some birds take in a baby bird that wasn't theirs.
That's a good guess. That's when they eat bugs. I don't know. I've never heard that one.
Anting is a behavior where birds encourage ants to run through their feathers.
Weird.
They will lie on ant hills and basically take a dust bath or pick up ants and actively rub them all over their bodies.
That doesn't sound so much like encouraging as like aggravating.
Come on, you stupid ants.
I'm rolling all over your hill.
To what end?
No one is quite sure why.
They just love it.
But it's freaking weird.
It's some weird bird kink.
What is a syrinx?
You pick some hard questions.
You are supposed to be an expert. I wanted to be ready for
you. Yeah, I took a college level class and I don't remember this stuff.
In the Rush album 2112, that's the temple that the boy goes to find the electric guitar.
Hmm. I think it's part of their vocal cords, or it is their vocal cords.
It's the scientific name for the bird-eating snake.
Adam, see, you are an expert. It's the bird vocal organ.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. It's forked, and they can use the two sides independently, which means they can make two sounds at the same time.
Ooh.
Like tubin singing.
And Popeye.
What is a megapode?
A megapode is a bird with big feet.
I was going to say big feet.
I say it's like a monopod, but it's like 10 feet long.
Yeah, I'm going to say a bird with one really big foot.
It's like the Baba Yaga's house?
Yeah, it's like the Baba Yaga's chicken house.
Did you answer?
Yeah.
Okay. It is a type of bird.
Oh, I got it. See, remember my answer? That's exactly what it was.
Specifically, it's a type of bird that is the type of bird that is most developed at the time of hatching. It has open eyes, fully developed feathers, and coordination. Some can fly as soon as they hatch.
It blasts out of the egg at 30 miles an hour and takes off into the sky.
Hunt your own food, my darling, as the hawk taps on the egg and it goes.
Megapodes don't take care of their eggs because they don't need to. They bury them and just sort of leave.
They tip them off a cliff. So you have
luck.
10 seconds.
Survive or not.
Dink. The brush turkey is an example of a megapode.
Oh, so it's not one.
It's a group of birds.
Oh, I see.
What is a brood parasite?
Oh, I know this one. They're really cool.
The joke answer is that it's a thing that turns X-Men into aliens.
Mm-hmm.
But a brood parasite has to be some like a parasite that's passed on through an egg? Like it's passed on even...
I'm not going to give you the answer. Don't look at me.
It's a parasite that's passed on even through like an egg. Yes.
It's the type of birds, which right now I can't remember the name of any of them, but the type of birds that lay an egg in another bird's nest. Demo and then when it hatches, it pushes all the eggs out.
Not all the time.
What's the name of that bird, though?
Well, there's a few different kinds of birds that do it. The birds we have around here are cowbirds. There's also cuckoos do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Honey guides, I think, might do it, too.
There are actually hundreds of brood parasites. And ooh. Yes, you two are correct.
It's yeah.
Birds who lay their eggs in other birds' nests.
Necks. Oh, God.
You don't like my idea of an egg filled with bugs?
Brood parasite eggs tend to incubate very fast. So the baby tends to hatch a lot earlier than all its adopted siblings. And at least cuckoos, they do their best while they're still naked and blind to push all the other eggs out of the nest.
Yeah, they actually have like reflexes that are just like pushing motions to shove out other baby birds.
Which is pretty awesome of evolution. Good job.
Then there's also brood parasites that when they're born, they have like essentially like fangs on their beak that they use to kill their siblings. And then they lose the fangs later.
Birds can't have teeth. That's one of the rules.
God, put these rules in place.
They're usually significantly bigger than their adopted parents. And if you've ever seen like a nearly grown cuckoo being fed by the parents it's parasiting off, like it could eat its parent if it
Mama.
Wanted to.
Well, and then there's an interesting thing where parent birds, they don't even have like the brain connections to push other eggs out of the nest. Like even if it's recognizable as a foreign egg, they cannot push eggs out of the nest on purpose, but they'll recognize the egg. And this, I think it was like one species of bird that did this, or maybe a few. They'll build more nest on top of the parasite egg and separate it from the other one so it doesn't get incubated. Then the cowbird will come back, see that its egg isn't there, lay another one in it and fly away. It'll find the new foreign egg in there, build more nests on top, and eventually you get like a 7-story nest.
War of escalation.
Yeah.
I say, this is like when you lock your unwanted child in the basement. They just brick them up into the bottom of the nest.
Yeah, but then they have another unwanted child and they have to build another basement on top.
A double basement.
Adam, you are our winner.
Yeah.
Oh, are you actually keeping track?
Ish.
Sure, give it to the guy who actually took a bird class.
Yeah, give it to the guy studying biology and the two things he's interested in.
Oh, I'm sorry, the guy that put
plants.
In the work shouldn't get the prize, huh?
All right.
I think stopping you from taking a bird class.
And that's how Andy and I became communists.
Everyone should get bird knowledge.
You know what? You all win.
Yay! Whining works.
I overthrew the bourgeoisie.
Now we have a story of, as they say, murder most foul.
I get it.
In 2001, Michael Peterson called 911 to report his wife had fallen down 20 stairs and was unconscious, possibly dead.
Pushed by a chicken.
I was going to say, did a bird push her down?
Bawk.
According to his story, he'd been out by the pool and came in around 2:40 a.m. to find his wife, drunk and on Valium, had fallen down the stairs.
Okay. Wait a minute. Uh-huh. Somebody pushed my wife down the stairs. What happened? Well, she was drunk and on Valium, and now she's at the bottom of the stairs. Anything could have happened.
It was the devil.
Now, in the autopsy, they found a series of lacerations on her head and a fractured neck. So Michael was accused of murdering his wife with a custom fireplace poker called a blow poke. The blow poke, though, when it was finally found, they found evidence that it hadn't been moved in years. Nonetheless, he was found guilty of premeditated murder.
We still think
he brought her over and wanged her head against it without moving it.
So, due to a few little inconsistencies, there was a retrial. And that's when an interesting theory of what had happened came up. This theory alleges that a barred owl attacked the wife, got tangled in her hair, and continued to attack as she frantically tried to escape. In her attempt to escape, she tore her own hair from her head and released the owl, but in her panic, she ran inside, tripped on the stairs, and hit her head.
Oh, I was going to say she took the slinky method of getting rid of things on your head.
Now, there is some evidence to back this up. The lacerations on
the owl, plagued with guilt, came forward and confessed.
I thought she was a mouse.
Well, actually, part of this theory is she was out putting out Christmas decorations at the time of small reindeer. And people think the owl might have gotten confused and thought there was prey down there.
I was going to say, these mice lights are so great. I can't imagine why they were on sale.
The natural prey of barn owls is tiny reindeer.
So the lacerations on her head were tri-lobed and paired, consistent with owl talons, and she had pine needles and clumps of hair in her hand.
And owl pellets.
A few small feathers were found there as well. And the death happened in December, which is mating season for barred owls.
Oh, the barn owl tried to mate with her head.
Laid an egg in her throat.
Oh, God.
Silence of the lambs.
Now, Michael Peterson was eventually pled guilty to manslaughter and sentenced to time served, but some people still believe that the true culprit was the owl.
Wait, so he pled guilty?
To manslaughter. It was a plea bargain to get out.
I gave her the alcohol and the Valium.
He still maintains his innocence.
Oh, huh.
But well, no, like, at that point, it's like, well, yeah, she was drunk and on Valium. I gave those to her. It was an owl?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it seemed pretty shady.
All right, we're going to move on or back a bit to learn about the Emu War.
Alex has told me extensively about this.
Yeah, I've heard some.
Oh, I haven't. I'm excited.
So in 1932, Australia was hit hard by the Depression, and the farmers found themselves fending off a new problem, which was the over 20,000 emu who were eating all their crops and destroying all their farmland.
Seriously.
And beating up their scarecrows.
You can't know wrong neighborhood, scarecrow.
They contacted the Australian government, and the government agreed to deploy troops.
Troops?
To take on this new threat.
Australia didn't have a lot going on at the time.
Hey, Prime Minister.
A man named Meredith headed down with a bunch of World War I vets and Louis, whatever it is, machine guns to take out these emu. They were also after emu pelts for hat feathers, you know, just as long as they were down there.
As you do.
That'd be a big feather for a hat.
And you called it macaroni.
Gross.
Now, this did not go well. In their most notable encounter, they met with about 1,000 emu and opened fire.
1,000 emu that each had machine guns.
They managed to kill 12.
Wow, emu can dodge bullets.
Aim for the bodies,
the emu
were
entrenched.
At this point, the emu broke up, and to quote the news of the time,
blimey,
the machine gunner's dream of a point-blank fire into a serried mass of emus were soon dissipated. The emu command had eventually ordered guerrilla tactics, and its unwieldy army soon split up into innumerable small units that made use of the military equipment uneconomic.
Meanwhile, some journalist.
A crestfallen field force therefore withdrew from the combat area after about a month.
Wow.
Aim for their extremely lithe necks.
Shoot the emu with the biggest...
I was going to say, I figure like me with a handful of boluses could probably take care of this problem.
So they did try, they did make further attempts. They tried gunning them down in trucks,
banana
but that
peels.
Didn't work. They did kill one emu this way, who probably got caught under the truck, caused it to veer off course, and take out a nearby fence.
One truck per emu.
They tried bringing in coyotes.
But turns out they can only get rid of roadrunners, and not even that well.
They did the math, and they found out they used about 25,000 rounds of ammunition to kill 200 emu. A second engagement went better. They killed about 100 emu a week, but at 10 bullets per emu, it was decided that this was not an economical plan. And the army admitted defeat.
Yeah, so how much do you get for an emu hat?
About 5 pence.
Meredith was quoted as saying, "If we had a military division with the bullet-carrying capacity of these birds, it would face any army in the world. They can face machine guns with the invulnerability of tanks."
And so began the secret Australian emu project.
So next we're going to talk a little bit about cassowaries, which it sounds like you all know all about.
The fanciful raptor of, where do they live?
Philippines?
Yeah. Philippines?
Is that right?
Do they live in the Philippines?
I thought I was in Australia again, in like Queensland.
I thought they were in New Zealand. Yeah. I didn't actually write down.
God, they're everywhere.
Do none of us know?
They're spreading.
But I can tell you that they have 12 centimeter or 4.7 inch claws.
Wow.
Two like daggers and one like a sickle.
And another one like a sledgehammer.
Think of all the gardening.
They can jump 4.9 meters. I'm sorry, 4.9 feet or 1.5 meters.
Oof.
This is also their average height.
They just jump over themselves.
Though females can get up to 2 meters.
That's a big bird.
They're from New Guinea.
There we go. I knew there was a new in there.
New Zealand, New Guinea, the Philippines.
They can run 50 kilometers per hour or 30 miles per hour. And they're also great swimmers.
Can anything stop them?
They're very accomplished pilots, too.
Now, as you said, they don't often kill, but they are...
Without a reason.
They don't often kill when it can be discovered.
There are a lot of bodies just buried in random places with 4.7 inch cuts.
A lot of cassowaries carrying rolled up carpets. No, nothing.
So they often injure people, especially if they expect food and don't get any.
If you're behind on your insurance payments.
So they say don't feed them, but at the same time, if you don't feed them, they're going to take it out of your legs, so maybe you should.
Say don't feed them, but don't make them hungry.
You wouldn't like them when they're hungry.
Everything I read called them shy, but they have been known to kill dogs, cats, and horses.
It's a murderous
horses.
Sort of shy.
Well, yeah, from their anxiety.
Break people's windows at night by pecking at them. Chase cars.
Be afraid of their reflection?
Y'all got food in there.
And they're suspected to hate jogging because they're particularly prone to chasing down joggers.
It's like a little chase in their prey.
But they rarely kill. The most recent case of one killing someone was in 1926.
Oh, okay.
Now, this was a 16-year-old boy named Philip and his 13-year-old brother. And depending on what you read, they were either found a cassowary on their land and decided to beat it with sticks, or they were going after an escaped horse.
To beat it with sticks.
One of these stories feels better than the other.
You decide.
Philip, I thought we were supposed to beat a dead horse.
It will be.
What we know is they pissed the cassowary off, and particularly Philip, who perhaps was jogging. And so
no, Philip,
the cassowary
no!
made chase.
Run faster or slower, just not that speed.
He tripped, and the cassowary leapt on him and cut his jugular vein.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It reports that he got up, ran a few more paces, and then collapsed again. He did not survive.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the same story I heard. It sounds similar, but it was a kid, and the story that I heard was that they were pestering this bird in some way, and that it was almost like a samurai movie. Like the bird flashed by, and then the kid just like stood there for a beat, and then just went and started to squirt blood out of his throat.
Look, all I know is that when I played Far Cry 3, I steered far clear of any cassowaries.
Any little cassowary mark on the map was no man's land.
And now we're going to learn why crows are so cool. We're going to learn about corvid intelligence. First of all, we're going to learn why you don't mess with crows. And that's because they will remember your face.
And exactly where to hurt you.
At the University of Washington, they did this study where they banded 7 crows while wearing caveman masks and then released them.
They started beating up cavemen all over the state.
No, that's why that Geico show failed.
A few days later, the students went out while wearing the same masks, and those students were attacked not only by banded crows, but by crows who weren't banded, even when the banded crows weren't present.
Spread the word.
Word was the word.
And students in control masks weren't attacked. So it wasn't just they hated masks. They hated that specific mask.
Huh.
Now, they tried this experiment numerous times with numerous masks, including more normal and less distinctive masks.
That would have been a really fun experiment to watch. Just a bunch of cavemen running around flailing their arms, fighting off crows. And then a bunch of other random masks just sort of looking from the sidelines. Man, I love science.
You know, you could run this experiment at home, Adam.
I just got to find some crows to beat up.
Just frighten some crows.
Now, in all cases, the crows remembered and attacked mask wearers, but didn't attack non-mask wearers. This continued for literal generations of crows as new crows hatched and were taught by their elders to attack those
to hate
masks.
Cavemen.
Let me tell you a story.
Come closer, children, and let me tell you of the cavemen.
This is how stereotypes start.
In other words, crows will not only remember your face if you piss them off, they'll tell their buddies and their children, and their children will tell their children.
Whispering to their young in the eggs. Don't trust them.
The moral of this story? Don't wear a caveman mask on the UW campus.
I guess. Or at least one specific caveman mask. It was Fred Flintstone. This is a Yabba Dabba Don't.
All right. So crows have a sense of delayed gratification. And they're tricksy. So this was another study. And actually, this was ravens. Sorry, we're talking about all sorts of corvids. In this study, they showed that ravens not only know how to use tools, but that they can plan ahead.
And hurt cavemen.
So they showed these ravens a box full of food that required a stone to open. They were given the box and the stone, and they got the food without any problems. They were then offered, with no box in the room, a number of shiny toys, as well as a stone. And the ravens, knowing that they'd need the stone, chose it 80% of the time. Now, this test was almost ruined by one particular raven who figured out how to open the box without the stone and began teaching the other ravens the trick.
Hey, guys, we can have toys and food.
Now, that raven, they named the engineer, and she had to be removed from the test because she was too smart and she was throwing the result.
She's thrown off the curve.
She was then cast in the Matrix and made to show Neo a bunch of different things.
In a similar test, ravens were taught to use bottle caps to barter for food.
They're getting ready for Fallout.
They would even pass up smaller amounts of food in favor of a bottle cap because they knew the bottle cap was worth a bigger payoff.
Wow.
They are better at these sorts of tasks than both great apes and 4-year-old children.
So don't play poker with a raven.
So lastly, crows have a sense of fairness. This was a test at Virginia University, and they were testing whether a pair of ravens could cooperate for food. A platform with 2 pieces of cheese was placed outside the cage with a string threaded through the loops. They could reach the cheese by pulling the string together. If one side was only pulled, the string would go through and it wouldn't work. Now, the ravens managed to do this about 67% of the time. But if one of the ravens upon bringing the food over, ate all the cheese and didn't share, the other raven would refuse to work with that raven again.
Yeah, like I said, sure.
Even if it meant they got no cheese. And it turns out they were right, because the cheater ravens, when allowed to work with ravens who didn't know their tricks, were more likely to cheat the second time.
Well, of course. These birds seem very smart. They're like, that guy doesn't know any of this stuff. Let me teach you a lesson, boy.
So the first five cheeses will go to me, and then they'll start giving you cheese. I've done this a million times before.
Why are you so fat?
No reason. Come on.
You could be too one day.
So that's it for our stories. Does anyone have any personal tales to tell?
The only time I've been close to a bird was when I was at Sean's house in Arizona. And you had, what, a cockatiel?
Yeah.
Cockatoo.
Yeah.
That I bought an action figure of Tetsuo from Akira, and that thing fucking hated it.
I don't remember that.
Like, if it saw that thing, it'd raise its wings up and be like, hey.
Well, he's seen that movie. Yeah, I don't know. That was my ex-stepmom's bird, and I'm all about animals. I like having pets and all kinds of different things. I will never own another bird if I can help it. The whole thing about them is they get to about the maturity and intelligence of a three-year-old, and then they just stay there forever.
Yeah, then they can get everything they want and don't need to develop anymore.
Well, and Sean made clear to us, he was like, okay, you guys coming to this house for the first time? Don't say the word poop.
Yeah.
Because the bird will just do it.
Yeah, it knows that word. I don't know. I can't really think of any. Like, my mom's a vet, but she doesn't really work with birds very much. There's just, the thing about birds is that they're very delicate, you know? They've got hollow bones, they've got to fly, so they're really light. And on every once in a while, my mom would like need some help. She's like, hey, come hold this bird while I trim its wings or its toenails or whatever. And like, I'm trying so hard not to crush this tiny little thing. And this thing is trying as hard as it can to destroy me, like put holes through any piece of skin that it can get a hold of. And it's just like, I had one in particular where I'd made like a loop between my thumb and my forefinger, and the bird's head was through the loop. And it was spinning its head around 180 degrees like they do and biting little holes in my fingers all the way around. And I'm just glaring at this thing like, if I squeezed right now, all my troubles would be over. And it's like, I will bite you.
Do it. You don't have the guts.
Now, didn't that cockatoo used to take on dogs?
Yeah. When my stepmom first got that cockatoo, we had a miniature American Eskimo dog, which is like a slightly larger Pomeranian. And then a cat. And both of these animals just lived in a constant state of fear. They were afraid of everything. And that included this bird. So this bird would chase them all over the place and they would run screaming and the bird would laugh and laugh and laugh. But then we got a big pointer dog. And pointer dog's whole job is to bite and kill birds. So we had to train this dog long and hard not to kill the bird. But in the bird's world, you know, dogs were a thing to be intimidated and chased around.
I will mock you.
And so we got the dog pretty squared away. And then one day they were both out and the bird confidently struts up to the dog and the dog's just kind of looking at the bird. And the bird grabbed a hold of the dog's toy. It was just like, yeah, that's right, freshman. This belongs to me now. And just started walking away. And the dog very calmly reached out and just pinned the bird to the floor with its foot. Just smush. And the bird lost its tiny mind, was flipping out, screaming, flapping against the ground. And the dog just held him there and was just like, this is how this is going to work from now on, bird. And from then on, the bird didn't mess with the dog.
This isn't a personal story, but we have a girl here in Seattle who has befriended the local crows.
Yeah.
She feeds them every day. She started when she was like six, just feeding these crows, and they bring her presents.
I've heard stories about
all sorts
like
of
this.
Presents. Yeah. Okay. So she just has this pile of trinkets that the crows have brought her, and all sorts of just weird random stuff that crows think she might like.
That's awesome.
Nancy will love this.
Yeah. She's going to be a superhero when she grows up.
Or a super villain.
I'm leaning more towards a villain.
After all, her neighbors have been complaining. If they take away her crow, she's going to take a dark turn.
Until they disappear.
I think there's already one called the crow.
That's true.
I hear there's a vacancy for the crow.
Any other stories, Adam?
I don't really have a whole lot of personal bird stories.
Yeah.
I read about a bird in South America called a stink bird.
Why is it called that?
I think they like ferment stuff in their gut and they just smell really bad for it. But the thing that I found really interesting about them is the young actually have claws on their wing. Like they have like a single claw on each wing and it helps them to climb trees before they can fly.
We have a bird at the zoo. I think it's called a southern screamer.
Yeah.
And it has the clawed wings. It's also very cute. All right. It's time to play. What are your morals worth?
What am I going to have to do to a bird?
Although today the question's more like, what is your physical well-being worth?
I won't kill another bird.
So you are locked in a room with a cassowary.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
You are
goodbye.
Unarmed and unarmored. The cassowary has a key around its neck. The key will unlock the box full of money that you want to open.
How much money? You can use to bribe the cassowary.
How much money needs to be in that box?
Well, thank you, Jigsaw.
Go toe-to-toe with a cassowary.
And it's not like a loose chain either. You're going to have to get that collar off the bird.
Well, how's it on?
It's buckled.
It's buckled. Okay. So I'm going to have to either kill or completely subdue this cassowary.
Yes. Death is not required if you can, you know, subdue it. That's fair. No birds need be harmed in the making of this money.
I'm very confident in my ability to beat up a bird.
But it's a cassowary. Like, the only way I could see myself taking on a cassowary is if I could somehow get onto its back and, like, sort of, like, choke it out.
Yeah.
Just for consistency's sake, we'll say this one's 6 foot tall.
I'd say my plan is to go in the corner and sit down and be as still as possible and wait for the cassowary to fall asleep. And then make my move.
You're not going to go jogging?
No.
I'm going to start jogging around the room.
So what happens after I get the money? Like,
you'll be released from the room.
But how long? Like, because I imagine this cassowary is going to be pretty pissed off at me after I tackle it to the ground.
How long till you be released?
Yeah.
You'll be released immediately after you open the chest full of money.
After I open the chest. Oh, man.
I mean, we're going to have to say, I'm going to have to say like 100,000 and up.
You guys are talking about subduing this cassowary. I'm just saying, once like you knock it out and then you're over there at the key and all of a sudden this thing's behind you with its razor claw.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever taken on a bird, but man, they can take a lot of abuse for something that weighs a matter of ounces.
Yeah. And those beaks can take off fingers.
Yeah.
And I don't think cassowary have the hollow bones.
They don't need them. They don't fly.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how hollow the non-flight birds are.
I was kind of counting on that for my fight against the cassowary.
They might. I'm not sure offhand.
Oh, man.
On the bright side, it won't fly around the room. It will just jump its own height.
I will go...
It'll do flips.
I will go half of what Adam said, $50,000.
I'd say at least $100,000.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go up. I don't know.
But think about when you walk out of that room broken and bloodied with a cassowary in your hand.
Cassowary
draped around my neck.
I'm gonna make a hat out of this.
Yeah. The chance of death is too high. I'm going to have to say at least $500,000.
That's fair.
I was actually also thinking $500,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm willing to do a lot of things, but if there's like a decent chance that I'm going to die, that's going to ramp the price up a lot.
Well, I think that's it for today. I hope you all learned something useful.
I know I did.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.